Hi, it's Diane, and I'm very excited for my new book, Daily Meditations for Visionary Leaders. Check it out on my website, visionsapplied.com/meditation. Now, on with the show.
If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you, someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hi, friends. It's Diane. Here from Someone Gets Me, the podcast for the bright and gifted, talented people, and those of you who wish to be inspired as you seek and grow and transform in the world. Most of the listeners here are very sensitive and intuitive, and they experience the world in a very rich, deep, authentic manner. So if you're new to the podcast, welcome to our family. And I hope that today's episode about believing in yourself will really serve you. I work with a lot of people over the years where they have somehow lost that belief in themselves, whether it's through difficult times or work problems or addiction or just never having developed a strong sense of believing in themselves. And it's time for them to allow their real, authentic self to show up. So this episode will have in it this little reading that I want to share in the beginning that I've had for many years. I have no idea who wrote it, but I think it's neat. And then I'm going to share 11 ways that you can specifically develop an improved and increased and enhanced way of believing in yourself. So whether you secretly have doubt and fear and not too many people know, or maybe others do know, all of us can grow in believing in ourselves more and more. Now, I'm not talking about false pride and narcissism and the people who strut around acting like they believe in themselves, yet underneath it, you can tell that they're forcing and pushing the issue. I can always tell when it's authentic belief because it does not have to be announced to the world. The person who's experiencing authentic belief in themselves simply believes. They're simply in that space without having to talk about it. And so if you're around yourself and you hear yourself talking about pretending or being or pushing that idea of believing in yourself, you may want to look to see if there's any belief systems underneath the surface that might be having a little doubt or fear in there that you're trying to pretend aren't there. And they will haunt you until you shed some light on them and allow them to leave. So let's get into some of the nice ideas. And I really desire and hope that some of the things I share today with you will help you and inspire you, bring you to a place in your world that's even more amazing than it already is. And if you like these ideas, share them with some friends. So the reading that I want to read to you is called Believe in Yourself. Now, like I said, I've had this in my possession for a long time, and I don't know where it came from, and it doesn't say who wrote it, so I have no idea who wrote it. And I think it's really neat. So I would like to read it to you. Then I'll talk about my 11 ways. So you can close your eyes if you just want to listen and you're not driving or doing something dangerous, or just allow my voice to kind of be present with you and in your heart so you can then also experience these words. There may be days when you get up in the morning and things are not the way you had hoped they would be. That is when you have to tell yourself that things will get better. There are times when people disappoint you and let you down. But those are the times when you must remind yourself to trust your own judgments and opinions to keep your life focused on believing in yourself. There will be challenges to face and changes to make in your life, and it is up to you to accept them. Constantly keep yourself headed in the right direction for you. It may not be easy at times, but it also, in those times of struggle, you will find a stronger sense of who you are. So when the days come that are filled with frustration and unexpected responsibilities, remember to believe in yourself and all that you want, because the challenges and changes will only help you find the goals that you know are meant to come true for you. So keep believing in yourself. And I think it's such a great reminder for us that believing in ourselves when things are great and cruising right along and everything seems fine is relatively easy. Even if we have those seeds of doubt or worry underneath it, we don't really touch or feel them. But I'll tell you, you had a little stress or a little bit of challenge in life, and sometimes that lack of belief will show up. And it really impacts people who are sensitive or empaths, or people who are intuitive or have lots of goals and things to do in their life. It's very easy to get caught up in the trap that somehow, some way, what I'm doing is not working, and undermining the belief in yourself. So this podcast hopefully will help you with different ways that you can believe in yourself more and enhance that inner part of you, that inner core of you that is coming together as a more and more authentic, solid inner power. So think back for a minute on when you were a child and remembering that kind of everything was taken care of for you. You dreamt of all kinds of amazing things. You could be the king or the queen of the universe, and there were possibilities everywhere. Possibilities that you could see around you with the adults or with other children or on TV or movies, and your imagination was amazing. And it's those times that parts of us connected to what our inner authentic calling is, what our mission is about, who we're meant to become and turn into. Sometimes it aligns with what the people around us are, and sometimes not. Like I myself have taken a completely different kind of spiritual road and emotional healing road than anyone related to me. And sometimes I always wondered if I was even real, you know, like maybe I was an alien or something, because they all processed and did the world differently than I. And I knew it was different. I never had words when I was little. And as I've grown and matured, I can see it now. I honor everyone's road, mine and theirs and everything. And at the same time, all those years when I was younger, I lived by a different way, even though I didn't know how to say it that way. My belief in myself kept getting eroded little by little by little, because the people around me didn't understand me. The people around me experienced the world so differently that I thought maybe there was something wrong with me. I learned years later that that meant something was right with me, and now everything's completely different. But I remember those days, and I remember having all these choices and possibilities, but yet somehow feeling this rub that was a little different. So, you know, as we get older, we learn how to work hard and dream what we want to do and create it. And some people learned all the metaphysics of, you know, dreaming and co-create it early, and some not so much. But we learned about those things by watching the people around us and by practicing it ourselves. So the more wise and the more mature we grow, and the more we experience life and all of its richness, all of the mess ups that we do, all of the setbacks, all of the challenges, all of the joys, all of the wonders, all of it makes this amazing tapestry that is our life. And everybody's tapestry is a little different, even if you go through the same situations with somebody. Because my brother and I could have experienced the same thing, and we're a little over a year apart, but we would experience it very differently because we have different makeup. We see the world different. We experience it differently. And so the same outside circumstance does not necessarily correlate to the same internal experience. So as we get older, we begin to realize there are all these other rules in the world and all these other things we have to take care of, and things just keep happening. And so eventually, sooner or later, we grow into a place where we're maybe going to graduate school, or we're maybe working, and we experience yet different kinds of life experiences with employers and adult friends and temptations and consequences of behavior, or maybe even an injury or an illness. Things like that happen. And if we're not careful to keep believing in ourselves, our confidence and maybe a little bit of our self-esteem can get in the way. I'm working with a family right now who has an adult, a child who's really, really struggling with addiction and alcohol and low self-esteem and a kind of depression that nothing helps. And I keep saying it's because there's a part of him that has such intense grief that has turned into resentment that the world didn't turn out the way he thought it was going to. It just didn't. And so instead of having the emotional and mental capacity to grieve that loss and then to receive the good that is there and see the beautiful tapestry that has been woven in his life, he's choosing to kind of, I call it, stamp his princess foot and make his life even harder by pushing back and refusing to be open with himself. It's a very sad place to live, and it's very painful. And yet, when we realize that life throws us all these challenges, it's not going to be the same. You can have the perfect picture of what you think life is going to be, and I can tell you right now, it's not going to be that. It'll be something better if you allow it. But if you push and fight and resist and create more and more struggle for yourself, you, in fact, will cause more suffering for you and the people who love you. So if there's a part of you that doesn't believe in yourself yet, these 11 tips will help you a whole bunch. Or maybe if there's a part of you where it's kind of like a shadow there, where it's not really big, but sometimes it weaves its way in when you're stressed out, I think these 11 things will help you too. Because self-criticism and being really hard on ourselves and the doubt and the guilt that comes when we don't necessarily do what we think we're going to do, or we criticize ourselves, all of that gooky drama, I call it, that stuff gets in our way and stops us from moving forward. It stops us from freeing ourselves mentally and emotionally to this old prison. Now, the one thing that will free yourself from the prison of resentment is self-forgiveness. That means having compassion for yourself for the grand adventure of being human. It doesn't matter what somebody else did to you or not did to you, or what you did to you or didn't do to you. It has to do with forgiveness, meaning compassion. Yes, you've made mistakes. So has everyone else. And to hold on to those mistakes and focus on those things and beat each other up with them does not serve you. What would serve you better is having some compassion for you and for them. Now, that does not mean that you have bad boundaries and you go walking back into the lion's den. Not at all. But what it does mean is that you have a sense of compassion for that great adventure of being human. I have a belief that we all wake up every morning trying to do our best in that day. Some days we do amazing rock star stuff. Other days, we aren't so good at all. We make a lot of mistakes. And then there's all the different variances in between. So for me, the thing that is most important here is having a little compassion for myself. Like, yes, I have high standards. And yes, I like to do things in a certain way and make things work really well. And I make a lot of mistakes. Same thing for you, right? You have a lot of amazing things you like to do and a lot of visions for your life, and you're probably very sensitive, and you probably have high standards, and you don't always meet all of them, and that's okay. You can still have compassion for yourself. You can still love yourself. Without that compassion, you can't move forward. Cutting yourself down because you didn't do something the way you thought, or you did something you shouldn't have done, or you didn't do something you should have done, or any of those things, though, that is counterproductive. Yes, you make amends and apologies when you make a mistake, and you really work toward doing the highest and best thing. Absolutely. And at the same time, when you fall short of your very high expectation mark, it's okay to have a lot of forgiveness for you and for the other people or person or situation. Everyone, at least this is my view, everyone is just trying to make it and try to do the best they can, even when they're messing up. Therefore, a little compassion is in order. This does not mean I condone behavior for myself or others that isn't in alignment. It doesn't mean, oh, that's okay, you can keep hurting me. No, it doesn't. It means I can have compassion for you, and I can also have firm boundaries for situations like betrayal and things like that. When you understand who you are at your core, and you have an unshakable value system, and you live it to the best of your ability without expecting rigid perfectionism, then you are free. Then you can have forgiveness and happiness and joy like you've never imagined. So yes, life can be challenging, and sometimes those twists and turns of life can really add up and make all kinds of interesting things happen. And at the same time, when we're being open maybe and believing in ourselves as we face unexpected changes or hardships or challenges, then we can build a sense of self that has confidence and worth and value. Those things propel you on your adventure. Those things move you forward into greatness. Yes, self-confidence and self-worth yield a much greater way of looking at yourself and experiencing your world. So when you take the next right action and you take practical steps with your eyes wide open, focused on your dreams, focused on your vision, taking action toward them with deliberate focus where it's not random anymore, that is when that self-forgiveness begins to fill in the cracks and fill in the crevices and rebuild any part of your self-worth or inner ability to see how great you are. Any place that's cracked gets filled in. So self-forgiveness is compassion. Practicing forgiveness for others is also compassion. It's about allowing yourself the freedom to disengage from the toxic negative emotions or the grief or pain in a healthy way. That doesn't mean you deny or run from it, not at all. But it does mean that you shift your perspective to a place that works for you. Because self-acceptance builds greater self-confidence that then leads to greater accomplishments and much more satisfying relationships of all kinds. So remember that it's the small things that you do day to day, the way you think, the way you act, that's what keeps you believing in yourself. Having integrity, doing what you say you're going to do, not doing what you say you're not going to do, all of it. Now, here's the 11 practical steps for believing in yourself. The first one is clear clutter from your sleeping space. A lot of people I know keep their phone right next to them. Well, those EMFs aren't so great, right? Clear your clutter away from your space so your mind and your body can truly rest. Give yourself room to breathe and relax. Your space should feel very safe for you and comfortable. I have a salt lamp in my bedroom, some live plants or pleasant scents, any of those things, so that when you go into your sleeping space, you feel completely protected, completely safe. No part of you has to be wondering about what's going to happen next. Number two is to organize your work or school surroundings. That means organize things in a way that serves you. Now, I have an assistant who's extremely organized and very linear. I am not. I am organized, but more in a visual kind of free-flowing way. So we both need to organize our work area in the way that works for us best. Everybody has a different method of organization. So I'm not here to talk about methods of organization, but I am here to say that to believe in yourself more fully, you need to use a method of organization that it works for you. So keep trying different methods until you have one that works for you. Without some method of organization, it is extremely easy to become overwhelmed and cluttered mentally. And then that completely covers up and distorts all of your creativity, your vision. It makes things hard. It makes it difficult for you to even concentrate on what you do like because things are all overwhelming and cluttered. So invest a little bit of time and a little bit of focus. And if the way you're organizing things now doesn't work real well, this would be a really good time to make some changes and then see what happens. Number three is remember the phrase, progress, not perfection. I say this sentence all the time. because sometimes those of you who are bright and smart and have delayed gratification issues, you want everything done just like that, just like that. And there's no time for a learning curve, and it's all about being perfectly done, right on time, no variance. Progress is only perfection, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying progress, not perfection. So think about it this way. If there's something big you want to change, try changing 1% a day. If you change more, great, but at least 1%. And when you add all those days up, because it is cumulative, in short order, you find a huge shift and change in your life without a lot of healing crises or undermining or difficulty. So just remind yourself, progress, not perfection. It's okay to have goals and vision and work hard and be realistic about the timing. One of my old clients uses the word phrase all the time, time optimist. And I've adopted that because it's true. A lot of people who are bright are unrealistic about how long it will take to do something or go somewhere or complete a task. So let's be realistic. The next one is have a positive attitude regardless of what's going on around you. Now, this is easier said than done too, right? This can be challenging. But when you don't have a lot of clutter in your head and you're kind of moving along doing the next right thing, then your positive attitude is really all that's going on. And so if other things are happening around you, the word I use is interesting, like, huh, that's interesting. Huh, that's interesting. Or if it gets really wild, I'll say, wow. But that's so that I can retain that positive attitude no matter what someone's doing around me. Because the truth is, everybody's doing their best. And sometimes doing your best and the other person doing their best still doesn't align. I've hired several people to help me market my business and work with me on some of these things that I try to delegate. For various reasons, with various people, they often would do things that weren't part of the agreement or whatever, you know, make mistakes or sometimes just not even listen. If I wasn't keeping a positive attitude, regardless of all these surroundings of these people around me, it could be tricky. It could change my desire to do my work. It could change the way I see things when really it's something about someone else, has nothing to do with me. And what about the times when maybe you're in a work environment or a school environment or a family environment where the outer surroundings maybe are a little tense or a little angsty, right? Well, if you have a positive attitude within you and you maintain that thermostat of joy within you to something positive and upbeat, then no matter what everyone else is doing, first of all, you don't have to engage in it. And second of all, you don't take it home with you. If you don't have the positive attitude kind of pulsing and radiating out from your heart, it's easy for some of that negative energy to come dropping in your world. And then pretty soon, you're feeling not so great yourself. So the positive attitude not only helps keep you moving forward, it does in fact positively affect those around you. And it helps guard you from allowing, you know, toxic or negative, staticky kind of energy inside that now you have to deal with. Next, spend time with people who support you. You know, humans are pack animals. We require human connection and human touch, real face-to-face things. So when you're on social media all the time and everything is through a screen, that is not human connection, not really. Not as far as the brain is considered, at least not yet, not unless they show different neuroscience studies. When you're around people who are naysayers, those who say, well, let me play the devil's advocate and show you everything that's wrong about your idea. Well, that's them puking their fear on you, right? Because the truth is they're not living your vision. They're not living what you're hearing and understanding for your life. And if you're not careful, taking in too much of the naysayers' comments can erode your self-confidence. And remember, we're believing in ourselves. So it's about going within, listening to your inner dialogue, and then taking action accordingly. It's perfectly all right to focus on your support and to pay attention that the people around you support you. Now, that does not mean to blindly say, oh yeah, that's fine, even when they know something's not so fine or that you should make changes. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, be around the people who celebrate you, who encourage you to move along your path, who listen to you when you're stressed or hurting or upset or disappointed, and who will listen to you and cheer you on when things are going great or you see things, you know, that are working out for you. Many times people will unintentionally do and say things that don't support you in a way that you need. The best supporters are the ones who ask you, what do you need? How do you want me to support you in these situations? And then to do it that way, because we receive it the way we receive it. Sometimes we give things, we give support the way we want to receive it, but that may not be the way the other person wants to receive it. So we need to teach the people around us how to support us and what we need at what time. I have an emotional overexcitability, as many of my clients do. So our emotions range very widely. And I have some friends that don't have emotional overexcitability and they want to be my friend and they want to support me. Well, they don't know what to do with my intense emotions. So I had to teach them. When I have intense emotions, just listen and say, you hear me. That's all I need. And then when the wave calms down a little bit, then everything's fine. I have clients much the same way. And I try when I listen to other people to hear them and allow for them to have their full range of expression. Because your expression is not a statement about me, just like my expression is not a statement about you. So a warning sign here is when somebody starts a sentence with the word Y-O-U, like you made me this, or you did this, or you did that. Oh, no, no, no. That's not how it works. All of your experience comes from you, from the inside out. Same thing with them. Nobody is responsible for anybody else's experience except us. Now, if you're in relationship with somebody somehow and they're dancing in your experience with you, they are, in fact, influencing in the dance of the relationship, but nobody can make us anything. So the next thing is to spend time in natural beauty, out in nature, hugging trees, walking on the beach, laying in meadows, spending time looking at the stars. Oh, man, I have selenophilia. That means a great, deep, and love reverence for the full moon, for the moon. I love it. When the moon is out, I'm there. I could just put a chair in my yard and just watch the moon all night. I love it. Oh, and the beach, put my feet in the sand of the beach. Oh, that's awesome too. Some friends of mine don't like the beach because it's sandy, but they love waterfalls or the mountains or the woods. It doesn't matter. Where in nature are you connected? What is important to you? Gardening, water sport, diving, skydiving, right? All of those things where we're connected in that inherent deep level to the power and the elegant simplicity of the nature around us. That greater beauty that's perfect in all of its glory, no matter what it is. So when we breathe in the power of nature and we bring a smile to our face, it's like plugging into a charging station, right? Like, I love it. Like, I love the wind too. Especially when it's got a nice breeze and I can just go stand with my face into the wind and allow it to just really nourish me and kind of blows away any static. It's wonderful. So spend time in nature, enjoying the natural beauty of our world every day. The next one is to keep moving and exercise often. The exercise may or may not involve something like the gym or yoga or a bike ride, you know, the things you probably thought of. But what it does mean is moving around. More and more technology has made it so that people are more and more sitting. And sitting isn't even all that natural for the human body. So there's all kinds of body complications. But there's also complications regarding believing in ourselves. Like, do you have the stamina to walk up several flights of stairs without being so out of breath you need to rest? In my office, one of them's on the second floor, the other one's on the third floor, and I have people who have difficulty making it up two flights of stairs. They are young people and physically able in every other capacity, but yet they either don't, or they're lazy, or they don't do any moving around, so that moving feels like a lot of moving. So our bodies are meant to move, kind of like keeps our joints oiled, right? It's good for our health and our welfare. And so exercise can be anything from a fun outdoor sport or goofing off or home exercise or anything you can think of that keeps your body moving. Dancing is another big one. You know, there were times when people years ago were all into aerobics classes, and now I guess it's a lot of Zumba and things. And I have a couple clients that just turn on music they love and dance around their house. And in their mind, they're in a kind of dance meditation that suffices for keeping moving. Then the next thing is to practice self-care. That means taking care of yourself every day. Monitoring your thinking so that the comments you say to you and to you about others are kind and generous and respectful. If you're in your head cutting yourself down, you're causing trouble for yourself. If you're saying, oh, I'm stupid, or I can't do this, or I'm not good enough, or I'll never measure up, all of that self-talk is the opposite of good self-care. Self-care starts from the inside out. It starts with how we think, what we say to ourselves about us, how we feel, what our mental space is, and what we're doing physically. So like maybe next time you take a shower, as you're washing your skin, you thank it. It's been protecting you and holding in all of your cells and fluid and keeping you alive. And if you've ever talked to somebody who's been burned badly over a big portion of their body, they will tell you that when your skin is damaged and hurt, it's very painful. It's your largest organ after all. So maybe as you take care of yourself, you thank your skin. And maybe thank your hair and your head when you're washing your hair. All of those things. Like I developed a thing a long time ago that somebody taught me about. Every time I put lotion on my skin, I'm saying I love you. Love you to my essence and my being, and allowing love to be that movement that adds to love and respect, that self-care. That's why we want to be positive and encouraging. Another part of self-care is to take time for you. Seriously, take time for yourself to get your hair done or get a manicure or get a pedicure. In fact, I was getting my manicure the other day, and there were three different couples at different times that came in, and each girl was dragging this guy with her, and the guys all looked so nervous, and they were getting their first pedicures. And by the end, they were all laughing and happy because it was a part of self-care they just never did for themselves. I guess they probably thought it was only for women, but I think they're probably sold now. But it was so nice to see people supporting each other and the guys taking the risk to try it out and then experiencing a really positive hour of self-care that is easy to do, right? And then we also practice self-care when we practice gratitude. We practice being the gratitude we want to see in the world. It's an amazing, amazing practice. So self-care comes in many, many ways. I like to do bubble baths at night, and sometimes I just sit out under the stars because, you know, I just said I love that. There's all kinds of ways to take care of yourself. All of it helps you believe in yourself, every bit of it. Nothing goes wasted. So try lots of different things. If you're not feeling really strong about your self-care, try some new things. See, ask some other people what they do and then try it. You know, you don't always have to do everything permanently because we go through phases. So you might love bubble baths now for a while, and then soon it's like, well, that doesn't really fuel me. Maybe I'll instead do something else. And there's no wrong answer. It's all about going within, checking on yourself and saying, does this resonate with me? How does this action serve my greater good so that then I can be that beneficial presence? The next one is to nourish your body properly. We could go on to this for hours, but we won't. That means proper hydration, the right foods, higher vibration foods, and believing that your body can assimilate things. Because your food is your fuel. Your hydration is like the oil in the engine. If you don't have oil and you don't have gas, the car's not going very far. Our human bodies are amazing because if you don't put enough protein in, then it'll steal some from the muscles. You don't give it enough of the right minerals, it'll steal it from somewhere else. But the whole idea of having a really amazing functioning body is to be fueling it and hydrating it properly so that your progress and your desires you can actually do, right? Like if you really wanted to go do a long bike ride or climb a mountain, but you haven't done anything for your physical well-being, it'll be a little tricky. You got to nourish yourself properly. I had a client who came in the other day and she was kind of spacey. I said, when did you eat last? And it was 2 or 3 days before, because she has an issue with taking care of herself properly. And so I happened to have a green drink, one of my green drinks there, and I gave her one. And, you know, a couple minutes later, like 10 minutes later, she was like, oh, I feel so much better. She goes, I didn't want to tell you, but your eye, you were all blurry. I could hardly see you because of, you know, how little she'd eaten. And she drove to see me. You know, that's taking care of your body needs to take some investment. And we had a long talk about that, that if we're not eating what serves us, when it serves us, pushing through and not doing the right thing all in the name of helping someone or being busy or whatever, that is not taking care of yourself. It's actually abuse. It's not part of believing in yourself. If you believe in you, you will take care of you. So any place in your world where you're not taking great care of yourself, that's where you should investigate. Where is it that I don't believe in myself regarding this area? Because I'm having struggle getting there from here. I work with clients on that every day. If you want me to help you with that, just pop me an email. My email will be in the show notes and I'll be glad to see how I can support you. The next one is to learn something new every day. Learn something new every day. That's number 10. Exercise your mind, right? Whether it's crossword puzzles or whether it's solving, you know, things or whether it's learning new information, whether it's a conversation or reading or a podcast. I have so many podcasts I listen to that give me great information, or I'm reading a book or having a good conversation with someone about an idea that is important to me. The point here is to focus on learning something new that enhances your life and supports your vision and supports your journey. This keeps your brain plasticity going. It helps your mind stay young and alive and active. And it makes it so your great, brilliant, creative ideas can really come through. It's amazing. So this is a fun one, I think, learning something new every day. And there's so much variety and way you can do it. And number 11, the last point, is to invest in spiritual reflection time. That means quiet stillness within, giving yourself dedicated and protected time to be still and go within and reflect. Reflection on this level makes all the difference in the world. All kinds of meditation and contemplation and prayer, whatever word you want to use, it comes in so many forms and in so many ways. And again, it's your personal way to do it. The word spirituality means to be set free. And we get set free when we have inner quiet time, when we actually expand our awareness to all the great opportunities all around us. So this is a way, an action, where we're consciously choosing to be open and receptive to the universe, to our messages, to what's the best thing for us to do, the highest thing for us to do, and then we become very willing to take action on it. When we run from and try to deny who we are and where we're headed and what we're doing, and we don't take care of ourselves and we don't eat right and we do these things that undermine believing in ourselves, we end up feeling really sad often and depressed. And a lot of times people go looking for some way to medicate, either with medicine or some other over-the-counter thing. And all it does is put a Band-Aid on it. It doesn't fix it. In fact, it makes it worse. Because the actual way to develop belief in yourself is within you. It's being patient and kind with yourself and understanding that life can be a crazy roller coaster, and it can be amazing, and it can be hard, and it can be easy. That's where you enlist the support of a mentor or a guide or a professional person who's not emotionally invested in you, so that you have a safety to be able to process and think about and expand inside first and then outside. Like, I have people in my corner just like I'm in the corner for other people. And I think that's essential when we're all humans on this road of transformation, to allow people to support us and for us to be willing to support others, because everyone needs somebody who gets them. And everybody, no matter who you are or what you're thinking, need to have that human connection. So it's not about expecting ourselves to be perfect and mastering all these 11 things and now we have full belief in ourselves and we can go thump our chest. Not at all. It's about loving yourself and always doing your best. Some days your best is going to be better than other days. It's okay. Really, it is. So I hope these 11 ways to help believe in yourself more have given you some food for thought, either places you know you're doing great, or maybe places where you can improve some, or maybe things you never thought about. But what matters to me is that when you put your head on the pillow at night, you can smile because you've done the best you can and you know it, and you're growing and you're evolving and you're being everything that you're meant to be. Gifted, talented, sensitive people and people who are empaths sometimes are harder on themselves than they need to be. So this is your reminder that to love yourself and be caring for yourself, those things are so important. So begin to believe in yourself even more fully from that inner authentic place. I don't even have to know you, but I know that you're perfectly equipped, and I know that your vision in you is uniquely yours. So surround yourself with people who support you without any question. I even have goosebumps saying that to you. I support you. I want to see you happy and alive and enthusiastic. So until the next episode, practice some of those things. Email me if you have any questions or you just want to tell me how you're doing. I would love to hear it. In the meantime, though, keep your face toward the sun so the shadows fall behind you and you can feel the warmth of the beauty all around.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.